we begin a consideration of the truth impacting a defiant generation. And one of the main passages that we considered at the outset was Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3. You could turn there if you like tonight. I think all of us would agree from this passage that it is a clear depiction of the culture in which we live today. Again, Psalm 14, verse 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Our culture in which we live today is a culture that has said no to God. It is a culture that is defiant against the Lord, against His word, His will, and His way. As we understand the culture in which we live, we are challenged now to see the needs of mankind. And if we understand the world in which we live, and as we look at that world, as we understand that world and we see the needs, all of us, I think, would have to recognize and say that the needs of our world are great. Man's needs today are great as they live in defiance against Almighty God. Although man in his postmodern thinking might deny the concepts of truth, they forsake the reality of God. In essence, that will never change the reality that one day man is going to stand and be held accountable before a holy God. Just because this world today, our culture today, says there is no God and there is no truth, folks, doesn't mean that there is no God and there is no truth. There is a God. And the truth is, He will hold mankind accountable as they stand before Him. Last Sunday evening, we took the time to list some of the characteristics of our postmodern era in which we live. We gave you four basic statements. Number one, the postmodern era rejects the concepts of absolute truth. They don't believe in a set of doctrines or beliefs. There is nothing that is absolute. All truth to them is relative. If you believe it's true, then it's true for you. But that doesn't make it true for me. Folks, truth is absolute. It's not relative. We also mentioned that the postmodern era is marked by pluralism. There are many ways in which we can reach God, and we ought to all be tolerant of all one another's beliefs, and all of us should stand to be thankful that someone is teaching some form of religion to somebody else, and so we ought to all tolerate one another in everyone's belief. Folks, there aren't many ways to God. There is no other name under heaven whereby a man can be saved than but by Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by Him. It's one way. It's not pluralism. We said that the postmodern world is marked by fluidity. Everything is constantly changing, constantly moving. There is nothing to which we can anchor to and hold to. The modern world believed that there were truths of which we could find as a base, and they have removed all such truth, and the world in which we live is very fluid. Finally, the postmodern era is marked by images. And it's not hard to look around in our world today and realize that we are a world that is overrun by images. But I'll be honest with you, that's not something that's really new. They're just different forms. And all of that we have discussed are errors which have been seen in the past. And the reality is tonight, as we continue our study, I want you to notice several things with me from Romans chapter 1. And help us to understand more thoroughly the reality of man's needs. So I'm going to invite you to turn to Romans chapter 1. And as you turn there, we're going to bow in a word of prayer. And then we're going to consider some thoughts concerning the world in which we live. Romans chapter 1, as you turn there, before we look at the passage, let's bow together please in prayer. Father, we are so thankful again that we're able to come this evening, that we're able to study the truth of your word, that we're able to consider these things that we might know, that we might understand, that we may be able to minister well in this generation. And Father, we pray that you would teach us, we pray that you would help us, and that, Lord, tonight you would guide us in the truth. And we'll thank you, Father, for it. Bless our time together now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Several things I want you to see from Romans chapter 1 that speak to the world and our culture that we live, to help us understand just how great the need of our culture is. Look at verse 21 of Romans 1. We're going to look at verse 21 to verse 23. It says, "Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible men, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things." As we begin to understand our culture today, I want you to understand that you and I live today in a culture that is confused. The culture of man today is a culture that is confused. The Bible speaks of those who reject the truth of God's word and they seek their own way. Here, Paul addresses this issue in his letter to the church at Rome. The culture of Rome was very similar to the culture in which you and I now live. It was arrogant. It was full of themselves, believing that they had arrived to levels of thought that had never been known. We live in a culture like that. We live in a culture that is filled with arrogance. We have come to new heights and we have come to new levels through our technology. We have discovered new things. We live in a culture, though, that is confused. In the first chapter, Paul would write and speak of their confusion. He would speak of their ignorance. I want you to notice how he describes this culture. Verse 21, "Because when they knew God, they glorified him not in God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations." Our culture is vain in imaginations. "Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Interesting, is it not, that in the generation in which we live, there is more emphasis put on education and scholarship than in many times before. It used to be that a high school education was all that a man would need. Now a university degree is good, but a master's is even better. And the further you go, the better off you're going to be in life. We have put a great deal into scholarship. We profess ourselves to be scholars. But Paul says they're fools. They would rather worship the image than they would the truth. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to beast and to four-footed beast and to creeping things. They're vain in their thinking. They're vain in their imaginations. Their foolish hearts darkened. Couldn't the culture in which we live be defined by those verses, folks, today? Much of what we find in Western civilization, I think, could be described by those very verses. Here's the exciting thing. Paul had an answer for the problem of his culture that sounds just like the problem of our culture. And you know what the answer is? It's what Romans is all about. The gospel. Salvation through Jesus Christ, to be justified by faith. Again, folks, that's why, as we mentioned last week, we stand firm on the foundation of the gospel. and we seek in a fresh way to share our faith that's appropriate to our generation. Why? Because our generation is confused. Vain. They would rather serve the image more than they would serve the very Creator. They profess themselves to be wise, but in essence, they are fools. Look at verse 24. And let's read from verse 24 down through verse 31. There's another concept I want you to see. It says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to their vile affections, even the women did change the natural use, that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was made. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful." Paul gives a description of a world and a culture, folks, that is not only confused, but corrupt. You and I live in a culture today that is confused, and it's corrupt. Our culture is a corrupt culture. Verse 25 gives us perhaps the greatest sin and the reason for the complete vileness of mankind. There we are told that they changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Paul goes on and he gives us a list of some horrid sins. How does mankind get into such debauchery? How does man get into such vileness? When you turn from the truth and you change the truth and you turn it to a lie and you worship the creature, folks, that's us more than the Creator. What's wrong with our society today? We worship man more than we worship God. We talked this morning about worship, and worship is supposed to be God-centered. Folks, the problem within the realm of our culture today is that it is becoming man-centered. How many of you ever heard of what is called the seeker-sensitive church? It was under a book called by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. You know what that philosophy says? Find out what people want in church and give them exactly what they want. So, know what people said? "We don't like the preacher getting up there for 40 minutes. Break that down to about 10 minutes and we'll be happy." You know what? We really like drama because we like to watch TV a lot. So if you would put some drama on the stage, that would be a whole lot better. That old style music that you guys sing, those hymns. Well, that's not what I listen to Monday through Saturday anyway. So why not just put the music that I listen to Monday through Saturday up on the stage? You know, get some drums and guitars. And basically make it a concert for me first. And then I'll be happy. You know, it would be really nice if we came into church and there was a Starbucks. Amen to that one, right? I prefer Dunkin' Donuts. But the reality is, what, you can put whatever you want. Here's the truth. They said, "This is what we want. We want to make church about us." They were serving the creature more than the Creator. Folks, the reality is that's where man falls into such wickedness and sin. The choice to turn from the truth of God and follow after their own ways led to perversity of human relationships. It led to worthless thinking, a reprobate mind, vile wicked acts, and it says, in which they delighted. Man left to himself without absolute truth to guide him will do that which is right in his own eyes. The problem is that the heart of man is desperately wicked, and no one can know it, and we don't know the extent of such wickedness. Folks, we need absolute truth. We need the absolute truth of the Word of God, because man left to his own devices will go to that which is corrupt. This past week, I started reading a book that is based on biblical times, but it's fiction. I'll be honest with you. I never read fiction. This is probably the first piece of fiction that I have picked up and read as an adult. I just don't spend a lot of time reading stories that are fiction. However, I have enjoyed this book, and it got my attention because it's presenting the life and times of Hezekiah, and it's based on biblical thought, but it's from a fictional point of view. So there's obviously things that aren't directly from the scripture. It's the author's perspective as to what happened, and they tell the story. Here's what was interesting to consider. His father was King Ahaz. The book opens up with Ahaz offering his oldest son to Molech. Molech was the god of fire. And their children were taken and they were burned alive in order to appease the god that they might win their battles. As you begin to read and you begin to consider, and you go back through your Bible and you begin to look at the times of the kings and all of those times in Israel's history, you begin to realize that here is a nation greatly privileged by God. They were given the revelation of divine truth. They had the law. And that nation forsook the temple of God, and they forsook God and followed after idols. You say, Pastor, why did they do that? Because somewhere in the process, worship became a ritual, and God was removed, and it became about man. And folks, when man is left to his devices, he will go to all forms of vileness and wickedness. When you take God out of a culture and you take God out of a society, that culture becomes confused. That culture becomes corrupt. But I want you to see a third trait about that culture. Look at chapter 2. Look at verses 1 through 6. Therefore thou art not excusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest does the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according, notice what it says, to truth. The judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Folks, truth is absolute. You and I will be judged by the truth and how we lived according to it. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Folks, our culture is confused. Our culture is corrupt. But our culture, apart from God, is condemned. Man is condemned. Those who walk away from the truth of God, those who reject the absolutes of his word, will find themselves condemned. You can profess yourself to have reached a level far above what God has given in the revelation of His Word. You can begin to say that this book is antiquated, the truth isn't relevant, and I have found a new way. But folks, the Bible makes it real clear that men will be judged according to truth. Who determines truth in the court of law? The defendant, the lawyer, or the judge? It's the judge. And folks, the one who judges is God. And He has given us His revelation. He has given us the truth. And man will be judged according to that truth. Just because you say in your heart, "I don't believe that's true," doesn't negate the truth, nor does it take you out of being responsible for that truth, and therefore not under judgment. If a parent says to their child, "Do this or that," and they don't do it, there's the right for judgment. That child could say, "I didn't think you were speaking to me. I didn't hear you. I thought you meant the other sister. No, I was speaking to you." I can't tell you how many times in working with youth over the years, working within the Christian school, you reach into a room and say, "Guys, I have to step out for a moment. This is what I expect." Right? Sure enough, you stand outside the door, you told that there's no talking, and someone's talking. You open the door and they said, "I didn't hear you say that." Well, if you were doing what you were supposed to do when I was given the instruction, you would have heard it. That's your first problem. But just because you didn't hear it doesn't mean it wasn't true. Pull a child in, you say, "You violated one of the rules in the rule book." "I didn't know that was in the rule book." "Well, we gave it to you to read." "I never read that before." Now, whose fault's that? "That's your fault, Pastor." "No, it's not. We wrote it. We put it in the rule book. We gave it to you. You didn't read it." Guess who's liable for the truth? The child is. Hey, folks, understand this. God has given to man truth. And He's going to hold man accountable to the truth. But I believe that if I did things just to appease God, everything would be okay. He would accept me on my merit. There's a problem with that truth thought. It's not our works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy. He saved us with the washing and regeneration of the Word. Our culture is condemned. Man might reject absolute truth, but the truth is going to hold man absolutely accountable on the day of judgment. Again, we come to such a thought, we say, "That sounds so bleak." But folks, understand, God's already given the answer to man's condemnation in His Word, has He not? See, the answer to Rome and the problem of all of their confusion was the gospel. You know what the issue or the answer is to the problems of man's condemnation? You know what the answer and the issue is to the problems of man's corruptness is? The gospel. John chapter 3, verse 16 and following. Sometimes I think we often stop at verse 16 when we need to read on. We know 16 so well. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Look at verse 17. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." God has an answer to man's problem of condemnation. It's Jesus Christ. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? "Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. How are we going to impact a defiant generation? The answer is the gospel. You and I have to be willing to share our faith. Why? Because man's need is great. Because the world in which we live, our culture today, is a culture that is confused. We are serving the creature instead of the creator. We've got the whole thing flip-flopped. We're consumed with our needs and not realizing that you and I were made to glorify the Lord. You and I weren't made that we would be pleased, that we would find pleasure. You and I were made that we would be pleasurable unto our God, the Creator. And He has the right to make us such. Potter has the right to use the clay in any fashion that he so desires. He formed it, and he can use it for his glory. You and I weren't made for ourselves. We were made for God. But our world's confused, and we've put the focus on men, and we say, "No, God, I want no part of you." That leads us to being a culture that is corrupt in all forms of vileness. And again, you can go back and it doesn't take much for you to understand what Paul is speaking of in the time of Rome. And that which we see then is what we see today. And I'm not going to go through all of those tonight. You're, as adults, able to read and understand exactly what he's referring to. It's corrupt. It's vile. And because of it, our culture's condemned. They will be judged. Rome as a nation, folks, was judged for their wickedness. The Western world is going to be judged for our vileness. Folks, it's coming. The world as a whole will be judged. Israel did not escape the hand of God's judgment for their vile wickedness. They're condemned. But there's an answer. The gospel. The truth that you and I have been entrusted to. The truth that we're supposed to stand firm on. The truth that we have to take and understand and adapt to our culture and teach to our culture in a way that they will understand. So that they can come to Jesus Christ and realize that those who put their faith and trust in Him will be saved. The truth hasn't changed. The need is for you and I to share that truth to those in that world. Are you ready to give a reason to hope that lies within you? Are you ready to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, knowing that it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek? God wants you and I to share our faith. It's the answer to man's great need. God has always had that answer for us. There's still some more for us to consider. We may consider that in time. But for tonight, I want you to lay hold of the need of mankind and the answer for man's need. Paul gave it in Romans. John gave it in his gospel. And in every part of your New Testament, you're going to find the answer. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. God so loved the world that He gave us His Son. It's not by our righteousness, it's by His mercy that we've been saved. Washed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by His sacrifice. Hey folks, to the world that seems so strange. But here's the truth. We're not the ones confused. They are. Those holding to the absolute truth of the Word of God, we're not the ones confused. There's clarity for us. It's simple. But our culture's confused. And because of that confusion and that rejection of God, it's corrupt. And don't be alarmed. Paul made it very clear in 2 Timothy, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse because men left to their own devices only go deeper into sinfulness. Because the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? And they profess themselves to be wise, I'm okay, when in essence they are plundering themselves deeper into the depths of sin. And they're under condemnation unless they receive the gospel. Not a whole lot's changed in our world. It was a problem in the time of Israel and the kings. It was a problem for Paul in the days of Rome. It's a problem for us in the Western Hemisphere. We have a culture that's confused, a culture that's corrupt, and a culture that's condemned. Man's need is great. His answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to be ready to share that with others around us. Let's pray together, please. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity again to come and study the truth found in your word.